In our gospel reading today, Jesus teaches his disciples that true purity is a matter of the heart rather than outward religious observance. Almost immediately, this teaching is tested when a woman considered to be a religious outsider approaches him for help. Our gospel this morning comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." And then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, we'll take a moment to sit at the family table and do some pondering about life and faith. You have probably noticed that these days it is extremely dry, at least in the Bismarck-Mandan area. You get further east over toward Fargo and Grand Forks, they've had more rain. But here, it's dry. My yard is parched, my garden is parched, and nothing would be growing in that garden unless I was watering it. You can almost see the plants perk up after I take some water out and give them a drink. It seems to me that we need to remember to be watered once in a while ourselves. The baptismal water, the reminder of our baptisms that is at our family altar. Wednesday night, we gathered together in worship out near the Peace Chapel, and Hazelina, Uella, Louise was baptized. It was a grand night to see what God did. Today at 10 o'clock, Thielen Ray will be baptized at the Peace Chapel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A one-time event that walks with us always. There's a phrase that some people use. It's called walking wet, meaning that we live as if we are continuously soaked in our baptisms, remembering what God did in that moment by the power of the Holy Spirit, naming us as God's own. a mark that can never go away. No matter what's happening in our lives, whether the day is grand or whether it's not a good day at all, God still is with us, loving us, caring for us. Return to those waters often. Get a drink. Let your parched soul be fed. Let's pray. Holy God, many of us were baptized as we were infants, so we don't remember that day. But help us remember these waters, the waters that flow with your grace and mercy, the waters that have marked us as your very own. Thank you for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. There is a woman I know who grew up in a family that faithfully brought her to worship from the time that she was an infant. As she grew in years, they brought her to Christian education, including Bible camp and everything else. When she became an adult, she married, and out of that marriage came a couple of kids. As sometimes happened, the marriage ended in divorce. But this woman continued to come to worship with those boys. And then one day, a religious leader said to her, "You are no longer welcome at the table. Your boys can come, but you sit in the back." Time passed. She met another man. They fell in love. They were married. She began to attend worship with him at his church. And one day from the table, the pastor said, "This is the Lord's table. Come, feast on his grace and mercy. All are welcome." She leaned over to her husband and she said, "Does that include me?" As I read the text, especially the first reading in the gospel lesson today, the question of who is welcome to God's grace and mercy, who is welcome to receive the gifts of Jesus, pops up. And I've got to tell you, in the midst of reading, some of Jesus' words leave me uncomfortable. Let me remind you that we follow a lectionary. Every 3 years, texts pop up. The good thing about that is it forces us pastors to engage texts that we might otherwise want to shy away from. The downside sometimes to the lectionary is that it contains just a bit of the story. And today I want to expand the lectionary reading from the gospel a little bit. I want to give you some background from the very beginning of the 15th chapter of the gospel of Matthew, the words that are written by Matthew just before our reading today. It helps to make sense of what's going on in Matthew 15. So Jesus is with his disciples one day when some religious leaders come to him, Pharisees and scribes, and they look at Jesus and they say, "Why is it that your followers break the traditions of the elders? They eat with defiled hands." Now, that might not make a lot of sense to us. Sure, many of us grew up having our mothers tell us, "Go wash your hands." But it's a bigger deal than that in Jesus' day. There is a whole system of traditions that have grown up about clean and unclean and how you eat and how you cook and what you do. And if you become unclean, how do you restore that cleanliness? For the religious leaders, it is a serious religious offense that the disciples and Jesus are eating with unclean hands. But Jesus looks at these leaders straight in the eye and he says, "You're concerned about traditions. I'm concerned about the fact that you're actually breaking the commandments. Specifically, the commandment that says you shall honor your father and mother, and there are ways that you are dishonoring them. Tell me that." Well, that offends the religious leaders. So we jump into our text from today, where all of the sudden, what is going on becomes really important. You see, this whole idea of following the law is extremely important for the religious leaders, but Jesus as well. And part of what I want to remind you is that the law is a gift. It's not a burden. It was given by God as gift because within the parameters of those Ten Commandments, to love God, to worship God, to have no other gods, to not kill, to not covet, to not steal, to not be adulterous, those laws set up boundaries within which God says life will be better for you if you live within these laws. You will care for your neighbors in better ways. Live freely there. The religious leaders of the day were breaking the law of caring for, honoring their father and mothers, but they were worried about the traditions that had popped up. Jesus stands and teaches his disciples saying the law is so important. It's not the traditions. It's not whether or not you eat with dirty hands. As a matter of fact, it is what comes out of your mouth, not what goes into it, that defiles. Because out of your mouth comes what is in your heart. Is it evil? Is it slanderous? Is it murderous? You show the truth of yourself by what's in your heart. The scene then shifts. We end up in a foreign country, up above Israel. It is a land of an unclean place. And an unclean woman comes before Jesus. She is a Syrophoenician in the region of Tyre and Sidon. She comes begging that her daughter would be healed. The disciples want her sent away. And Jesus says to them, "You know, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." If you think about it, those are hard words to hear, because the lost sheep of the house of Israel are not you and I. They're the Jewish people. Jesus is saying, my mission is confined to this group of people. But the woman, this audacious woman, is not to be stopped. She comes forward to Jesus and she says, "Lord, help me." So if the first words were troubling for me, Jesus' response is even more troubling. It wouldn't be right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Right? This one who has been called to the lost sheep of Israel is saying that his job is to heal only the Israelites. Not you, woman. But she looks and she begs by saying, "Yet even the dogs are allowed to eat the crumbs from beneath the master's table." Jesus is taken aback and says, "Your faith is great. Let it be done as you will." And instantly, her daughter was healed. These are troubling words to me because this is the Jesus who I go to in the midst of the most difficult times in my life, trusting that he is walking with me, and yet he is saying to this woman, this outsider, what I have is not for you. You and I are outsiders. We are not God's chosen people. We have been grafted into this tree. So how is it that we look at this? I think that we need to look at the wholeness of the Bible to understand Jesus' calling that comes in the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, where just before Jesus leaves this earth, he has died, he has rose again, he is preparing to ascend to heaven. He looks at his disciples and he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." In the midst of those final words from Jesus, he is saying, what I have is for all. Even those of us who are not the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go therefore to all nations. So what does all mean? For me, it's really simple. It means that God really doesn't care who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. You are welcomed to God's mercy and grace. You are invited to the feast. With tears in her eyes, Tracy went to the table that day. Her questions didn't stop there, though. After worship, she went to the pastor and she asked, "Did you really mean it? Did you really mean that I'm welcome?" And the pastor said, "Absolutely." I want you to hear those words today. God's grace and mercy through Jesus Christ is for you. Absolutely. Amen.